So yesterday I was down in Lynchburg, and we were doing a yard sale. Ugh. And during the day, all of my family was there, and my little three-year-old nephew was there, and he walked up to his mom, and he held his hands up, and he did this, and he went, ah, like that, and we assumed that meant pick me up. Mom bent down and picked him up, and as soon as she picked him up, he starts squirming and squealing and wants out of her arms and wants down to the floor. She puts him down, and she said, what do you want? And this little three-year-old child looked at his mom and said, phone. Phone. I'm thinking, really? Now, what he wanted the phone for wasn't because he wanted to make a phone call. It's because on that phone was a connection to the internet, and a connection to the internet meant that he could watch movies on the phone, and what he wanted to do was watch a movie. All right, isn't that incredible? Now, this is a kid's sermon, but I haven't forgotten the adults that are from old school, so I have a model phone from your era too, okay? But we're not really talking about this phone. We're talking about a phone that looks something like this, at least to get started. And these are pretty incredible little devices, because in these little devices, at least on mine, I can tell you who's entering and exiting the church. You can't get in this church without me knowing you're coming in. No sneaking up on Barry. Every camera, there's a camera every door. I know you're coming. I can surf the internet. I got a little app here that can tell me where to go. It's got a map on it. I can check all four of my email accounts on one device. That's incredible. Here's the one the kids use. It's this one where you sit here and you don't actually talk to anybody. You just send, and you text back and forth. I actually have been around kids. They're sitting next to each other at a table, and they're texting each other from the table. I'm thinking, I have gotten really old in my day, you know. So, and again, some of them now, like, they're thinking about their phone right now, you know. I'm often convinced if we took it away from them, they might actually curl up in a little ball, and they wouldn't know what to do at this point. But, you know, there's one button on here that our new generation does not use very much. You know which button that is? On mine, it's this little green button all the way down here in the corner that has what looks like a phone receiver on it. And you know what you use that button for? To make a phone call. Hence the reason it's called a phone. And people just don't do that anymore. And the parents around here are laughing because you get this, right? People don't make phone calls anymore. Yeah, like I said, there are still a few that this is your model, and you still call. Your phone has digits that you have to punch. And we start thinking about this, phone calls. And there is this word that goes the second part of that word of calling. And this morning we're going to talk about a young man that received a very important call. And we're going to talk about how he answered that call. So hopefully you're taking notes. You're not just working the puzzles in the bulletin. Yeah, I put puzzles in there for you this morning. Hopefully you're taking notes, because I promise you, in another quarter, you're going to be back up here again, and I'm going to have other prizes with me, and you'll have to answer questions again. So please take some notes, because this morning we're going to talk about the calling of a young man named Samuel. A little boy named Samuel lay in his bed one still night when he heard a voice calling out his name, Samuel, Samuel. Little Samuel was different from other boys. He had never had a haircut. Why? Okay. That might make him cool today. He had never had a haircut. He had been given away by his parents, and an old man named Eli took care of him. Eli was a kind man, but he was old and almost blind. It may have been Samuel took as much care of Eli as Eli took of him. Eli certainly spoiled his own children to the point that their focus was upon nothing but themselves. They certainly didn't take care of Eli, nor did they honor or obey him. But little Samuel treated Eli with the utmost respect. When Samuel heard his name called, he placed his feet on the cold floor and quickly made his way to Eli to see what he wanted. If you have your copy of God's Word, make your way to 1 Samuel chapter 3. That is where we're going to be. And we're going to talk about the idea of Samuel gets a call. And as you're reading through this, the voice comes out and it says, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel goes to answer. But you know what? The funny thing is, when we hear the calling of God, sometimes we just don't know what to do with that calling, do we? I mean, it's one thing to hear a call. It's another thing to answer a call. As I use my little phone, this device right here, and I get a lot of phone calls. I still get a lot of phone calls. And I get phone calls, and oftentimes I open up my thing, and my little green button has a number here. And sometimes it's a 1, and sometimes it's a 2, and sometimes it's a 5. And you know what that means, right? I missed a call. It means somebody tried to call me, but I was unavailable. And you know, I might have been unavailable because I went for a bike ride, and I don't take my phone on the bike ride, so my phone sits. So me and my phone were nowhere close to each other. Maybe I missed the phone call because, you know what? I was out of service. I had no bars, and so I had no connection, and so you called me, and it dropped through, but maybe I didn't really miss that phone call. Maybe I missed that phone. Maybe that phone rang, and I saw who it was, or maybe I didn't recognize the number. I'm like, not right now. And I just ignored the call. I would never do that to anybody in this building, just so you know that. But maybe for some people in my life, I would just not answer the phone call. Well, this morning, we're interested in hearing God's call, and not just hearing God's call, but answering God's call. So our story begins out, and I want to start out in 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 3, because hearing God's call is all about location. When you buy a house, what do the real estate people tell you? It's all about location, location, location. Where is the house? And I want you to see where Samuel was when God called him. Right there in verse 3 it says, the lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the house of the Lord where the ark of God was. So where was Samuel? Well, Samuel was, he was in the temple. And well, that's where he lived. Now, the moral of the story this morning is not you need to live at church, okay? Helps if you attend, but you don't have to live at the church to hear a call from God. It was not about the physical building. It was about Samuel and his life. But the fact is, Samuel was where God was. You know how hard it is to hear a phone call? If my phone is at my house, laying on my desk, even if the ringer is turned all the way up, and I'm on my bike, and I'm all the way over at Ridgeview Park, what are the chances that I'm going to hear that phone ring? My hearing is getting old as it is. There is no chance that I'm going to hear it. It might be in my pocket that I might not hear it at this point, but you understand, I'm not going to hear it unless me and the phone are at least in the same proximity. I got to actually be around the phone in order to hear the thing ring, right? That was the advantage of a cell phone, is the fact that I could take it with me. This phone, well, it has a cord, and it only goes as far as the cord will go. This one I can take anywhere, but I still have to be in the presence of the phone. The other thing that I want you to see is the light had not gone out. So this was a very special light. This was a light that God had there in the temple, and it was made up of some candles. We actually studied this light when we did the tabernacle. And it was there, and Samuel was there with that light, and that light was never supposed to go out. They always kept that light lit. And so the light there with Samuel had not gone out. So that's important to us, because a lot of times we don't hear God's calling because we let the light go out. I mentioned that on this device there is this thing called bars, and it's been a frustrating week for one of if you're a customer of a certain provider, I'm not going to say their name, because for some reason my little bars have gone up and down all week long, and I've tried to make a phone call and I couldn't. It's because I had no bars. You understand that in order to hear God's calling, not only do you have to be in proximity, you actually have to have a connection to the light. Just like the phone has to have a connection, you have to have light. And it's important that as we look at Samuel and God is going to call him, the light hadn't gone out. So Samuel was living in the temple. The light had not gone out. And Samuel was actually living in that light. So this is important. Because a lot of times we don't understand what it means to have a call by God. I mean, God has never called my cell phone. Okay, I've never gotten a call. When I open it up, it says God. And if it did, I think I would like, maybe I'm going to put that one on hold to see what he wants. Because God calling would scare us, right? If God physically started calling us, that would scare us. But understand, God does still call us today. Maybe it just looks a little different. But for God to call us, we do have to be living where God is. We do have to have the light still on. And not only that, we have to have a connection, and we have to be living in the light. So, hearing God's call means that you've got to understand and know God's voice. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 4 through 8. Then the Lord called Samuel. Samuel answered, "Here am I." And he ran to Eli and said, "Here am I, you called me." But Eli said, I did not call. Go back and lie down. So he went and lay down. Again, the Lord called Samuel. And Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." "My son," Eli said, "I did not call. Go back and lie down." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. And the word of the Lord had not yet revealed to him. A third time the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel got up and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, you called me." Then Eli realized it was the Lord calling the boy. So Samuel had to be called three times, and right now the parents are thinking, this is a remarkable child, because every time you called the kid's name, he came. That doesn't work that way at my house. Sometimes you have to call my kids three, four, five. It depends on what you're calling them for. Usually if it's dinner, we get a really good response, yeah. But if it's like time to take out the trash, selective hearing loss, we call, "Huh?" They didn't hear us. The door shut. I had my headphones on. But Samuel had the Lord call him, but it took four times. Four times. And I kind of give him a break, because it says Samuel had never actually heard the voice of God. And so I get it. So he hears somebody yell, "Samuel." And he's thinking, well, who's the only person in the building with me, right? So he runs to see Eli, and he says, "Hey, Eli, what do you need?" He did not respond. He just went. He didn't just avoid responding. He just went to the wrong person. And again, I can understand it, because here we go. Somebody calls you, and kids, you know, when your parents call you, you know how this works, kids, right? If they say, "Benjamin," okay, they're calling me. If I say, "Benjamin Davidson," you know, oh my gosh, something. If I say Benjamin Davidson and Creasy, then you know I'm in a whole lot of trouble, because I got all three names. Well, God is just calling Samuel. And so he goes to see Eli. You know, the funny thing is, I find, and this is kind of to our adults today, it took a seasoned follower three times before he could instruct Samuel what to do. Eli was supposed to be the example for Samuel. Eli was supposed to be the one that when Samuel needed to know something about God, he goes and talks to Eli. And so here's God calling, and the kids are going to the adults, and the adults are like, "I didn't call you." And what do you tell them to do? Just go back to your life. You know, adults, we have a responsibility to these kids to guide them. They should be able to come to us and ask us the tough questions about God, and we should be able to answer those questions. You know, a lot of times we have a problem is that we're not living in the light. That light has gone out in some of our lives, and we don't bask in God's word, and we don't read God's word, and we don't put God's word in our life. And then when our kids come to us and ask us questions, we're like, "Go Google it." That should never be your answer, adults. And keep in mind, Eli eventually got it, and he told Samuel exactly what he needed to do. He told Samuel to go back and wait and listen. But here's what I want you to see about that call. It was a personal call. God wasn't some telemarketer looking for a volunteer. Don't you hate those calls? You get that phone call, and it's the telemarketer, and you answer, and they want to sell you car insurance. I'm kind of like, I already got car insurance. Or better yet, it's not even in English at this point. God was not making a telemarketing call. He was not looking for a volunteer. God did not reach out to Samuel and say, hey, you. God called Samuel by his name. That's impressive to me. I mean, there are millions and billions of people on the planet, and God said, Samuel, I have something I want you to do. And while Samuel had no clue who God was, who was calling him, God knew exactly who he was looking for. Now, kids, not only was it a personal call, here's something that you need to understand. When God decides to do something in your life, it's going to be a persistent call. God didn't just try once and give up on Samuel, right? You know, usually if I'm really trying to get my kids' attention, you know what I do, right? I call them. And, of course, they never answer my phone call. I know I should text them, but I call them, but they don't answer my phone call. So I hang up, and you know what I do immediately? I hit the redial button, and I call them again, and then they don't answer me. And I hang up, and you know what I did? I hit the redial button, and eventually they're like, oh my gosh, that's the third time Dad's called me. That's kind of like the Benjamin Davidson Creasy thing. It's time for me to answer, because if I've got something important to tell my kids and I have to call them, I'm not going to give up until I reach them. I think a lot of times we think God gives up on us. God does not give up on you. When Samuel figured it out, God didn't scold him for not getting the first three right. How easy would it have been for God? Well, I had to call you four times to get here, Samuel. Look, I told you, I called you, you should have come straight. God did none of that. He called Samuel and he waited for Samuel to come to him. So I encourage you, never give up on God, but also remember, God is not going to disconnect from you. He is going to keep coming into your life and coming into your life and coming into your life until you hear his call. And then the question becomes, I hear it. God's got something for my life that he wants me to do. Here's the important thing. How do you respond to it? What is it that God wants me to do when I hear God in my life, when I hear God wanting something from me? How do I respond? And well, that begins with availability. So Eli told Samuel, go lie down, and if he calls you, say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood there, calling as the other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel says, speak, for your servant is listening. What a mouthful. I bet those words, speak for your servant is listening, brought a smile to God's face. Because you understand, a lot of times they're using you don't hear God's calling. I got no other way to say it, because you won't shut up long enough to listen. We're so busy trying to tell God about our life. We're so busy trying to tell God the things that I need. We're so busy trying to tell God how the universe is supposed to run that we are forgetting he is God. And sometimes, in order to hear God's presence, God's calling, the only thing I can do is close my mouth and listen. But it wasn't enough that he listened. It says that the Lord came and stood there. Now I want you to get this picture. Kids, really get this picture. So you're in this old, creepy building in the middle of the night, and all there is candlelight. All of a sudden, a voice comes out in the middle of nowhere and says, Samuel, Samuel. And then you look up, and there stands God. What are you going to do? I don't know about you, I'm running as fast as I possibly can. It would have scared me to death to wake up and see God standing there waiting to talk with me. Now, I kind of believe it was probably an angel. I don't think God himself came. He could if he wanted to, but I think God sent a personalized messenger once Samuel was ready to listen to him. And when Samuel was ready to listen, God came close. There he was. It wasn't just a phone call. I guess you can call it a FaceTime or a duo chat or whatever we're using these days to do this. God came close to Samuel. And I love what he says. You speak, I listen. God, you speak, I listen. You were in charge. How did he identify himself? I am the servant. I am here to serve you, God. You tell me what you want me to do, and that is what I will do. There's a word that we have for that. We call that humble. Not arrogantly saying, hey, God, yeah, I know you need me, so yeah, let's work out and negotiate a contract. How much am I getting paid for this job? Nothing. God's calling you. God wants to be a part of your life. However, Samuel gets a very difficult message. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. And the Lord said to Samuel, see, I am about to do something to Israel that will make the ears of everyone who hears about it tingle. And at that time, I will carry out against Eli everything I spoke against his family from the beginning to the end, for I told him that I would judge his family forever because of the sin he knew about. His sons blasphemed God, and he failed to restrain them. Therefore, I swore to the house of Eli, the guilt of Eli's house will never be atoned by the sacrifice of offerings. Samuel lay down until the morning, and then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord, and he was afraid to tell Eli the vision. Can you imagine the message he just got? Here is this little boy, this young man, and God calls out. He says, hey, the God that's taking care of you, well, I've got not so good news for you. You see, God was about to deal with sin. And specifically, God was about to deal with Eli's sin. And more specifically, Samuel was about to be Eli's replacement. And you know what? God is trying to get the nation's attention by what he's doing. God is looking at Samuel. He's saying, you will be next. I'm going to give you that. But imagine the weight of this young man. Kids, could you imagine? You're out there and you get a message and it's not so good news. And now Samuel's got to go back to bed and lay there all night and think about this. And what's the first thing that's going to probably happen in the morning? He's got to go talk to Eli. And so Samuel lays there all night long and he's struggling. What am I going to do? Well, that's kind of how things shape up, because sometimes when we respond to God's word, it means that we have to share God's word. But Eli came to him and said, Samuel, my son. Samuel answered, here I am. What was it he said to you? Eli asked. Do not hide it from me. May God deal with you, be it ever so severely, if you hide from me anything he told you. So Samuel told him everything, hiding nothing from him. Then Eli said, he is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. I'm sure when Samuel woke up that next morning, he's thinking, maybe this is a good day for me to go do something else this morning. I'm going to get up early and I'm going to leave early because if Eli never sees me, Eli's never going to ask a question. If Eli never asks a question, I don't have to share God's word. I have a really good idea. Maybe Eli asked me and I just lied to him. Oh yeah, you know what? It was no big deal. God and I just wanted to have a little chat. Maybe he just tells him a little bitty part of the truth. Oh yeah, God said he's going to deal with some sin, but you know, don't worry about that, Eli. Maybe he could have told Eli God got the wrong number. You know, he said Samuel, but he really meant the Samuel down the road. I was just giving him directions to find the next guy down the road, but you understand, that's not what Samuel did. Samuel realized he had a call from God. And that's not the way you deal with a calling from God. When God gives you something to share, you have to share it. So he told Eli the truth. Ouch. And here's the thing. He told Eli the entire truth. He said he left nothing out. He delivered God's message. It was not enough that he just receive and accept it. He had to deliver. Because that's what God asked him to do. But you know, it wasn't just enough at that moment. Because something happened to Samuel as the years went by. Genesis chapter 3, verses 19 through 21 says, the Lord was with Samuel and he grew up. And he let none of Samuel's words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan to Beersheba, recognized that Samuel was attested as a prophet of the Lord. The Lord continued to appear in Shiloh, and they revealed him and revealed himself to Samuel through his word. Kids, I know you're ready to go downstairs and play games and eat pizza, but give me your attention for just a minute, please. Focus up here, because I want you to see something. Eventually, Samuel grew up. You're not going to be a kid forever. It would be fun, but I'm sorry, Toys R Us lied to you. You can't be a kid forever. I know some of y'all are like, what's a Toys R Us? I forget, they've been gone for a while now, haven't they? Samuel grew up. And it says he became a powerful prophet. Now, a prophet is somebody who just basically hears words from God and tells people what God said. It said that as Samuel grew up, he never got over the fact that he was called to hear what God said and speak what God told him to say. It says he got to anoint Israel's first king. That would be David. That would be Saul. And as the years went by, he got to anoint God's king. That would be David, who eventually led us to Jesus. Here's the important thing, though. He continued to be powerful and proclaim God's word. He never stopped telling people about God. Adults, even when he got old and gray, and he had lost most of his hair, and his voice probably wasn't as strong as it used to be, and he probably had more aches and pains than he wanted to count, it says he still got up every morning and proclaimed God's word, just like when he was a kid. But it all began with hearing God's call, responding to God's call, and then deciding to live God's call. And I know what you're thinking. God ain't called me. I ain't got no phone call from God. Look, my phone keeps track of every single text and phone call that I've gotten, and I can go all the way back to 2019, and God ain't called me. Yeah, he did. You know when God called you? He called you the day that Jesus arrived on this planet. You're thinking, well, that was 2,000 years ago. I won't hear. Jesus came. The Bible tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. There's a calling on your life. That calling is for you to come into a relationship with Jesus. It's really that simple. God called you personally. The Bible says whosoever, but it means anybody and everybody. It means you. If there was only one person that was ever going to accept Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, he still would have done it. So you could rephrase that entire verse to say, so for God so loved Barry, that he gave his only begotten Son, that if Barry believes in him, Barry shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And you can take out the name Barry, and you can put your name into it, because God has a calling on your life to come and live in a relationship with him. Here's my question. How have you handled the call? Did you see it, and instead of swiping the green, you swiped the red and said, I don't want to listen to that call? Did you just wait and let it drop through voicemail, and you know you're ready, and you're like, well, I'll answer that one later? Did you look at it and say, wrong number? Or did you pick that calling up? And have you surrendered your life to him? Have you followed him in baptism? Have you answered your call? Not Samuel's, not Rich's, not Gary's, not Brandon's, not Lynn's. Have you answered your call and what God wants you to do with your life? If you're here today and you know what, you've never answered that call, but you'd like to, today's your day. I have good news for you. You're in the right place, and I know the light. And I would be happy to introduce you to that light. I've got a pastoral kids to take care of this afternoon, but that's okay. I've got some elders here that would be happy to sit down and turn the pages of Scripture if you're interested today in understanding what it means to accept that call. If you're here today and you've accepted that call, then take a look at those back two rows right there that are filled with kids. You have a responsibility, and the ones in the middle, and the one over behind the piano. We have a responsibility, adults, to help these kids find their calling of God and help them understand what it means to live in a relationship with Him. That's our part.